Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Health. This is the December 19, 2024 meeting of the Rhode Island Health Board of Commissioners. This meeting is also being made available telephonically for access by the public. Val Lingasamy, Assistant Director of IT, will provide information on this meeting.
Thank you, Carol. Good morning. This is Val Lingasamy, Assistant Director of IT at Rhode Island Housing. This meeting will be recorded and available for review on the Rhode Island Housing website within 3 to 5 business days after the meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask telephone participants to please mute your telephones if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-429-1430. Thank you.
Thank you, Val. Good morning. This is Corinne Myers, General Counsel. A few housekeeping notes. Members of the public can visit the RA Housing website to view this morning's agenda and each of the actions being taken. If the teleconference portion is interrupted for any reason, we will stop the meeting until audio is restored. Chairman Stephen Pryor will preside at this morning's meeting. Directors, staff, and guests, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time for the benefit of those listening in by teleconference and for our minute taker. With that, I'll turn it over to the chair to call the meeting to order. Thank you.
Thank you, Corey. It's Stephen Pryor at 9:37 a.m. I am calling the meeting to order. I'm going to go ahead and ask Carol to conduct the roll call attendance, if you would.
Commissioner McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Weber.
Here.
Commissioner Olson.
Here.
Commissioner Pryor.
Here.
Commissioner Diosa.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
Chairman.
Thank you, Carol. I'll introduce Board Action 1, which is approval of the minutes. This is for November 14th. Please take another look for a moment. And when you're ready, I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second on the minutes?
Second, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Are there any edits or comments? Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the voice vote?
Of course. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the board meeting held on November 14, 2024, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. With 6 ayes, the motion is approved.
All right, we're on to agenda item 2. I do offer very brief remarks this morning. This is our last meeting of commissioners in this calendar year, 2024. I want to thank the Rhode Island Housing Team for a year of great progress, and just note a few things very briefly. So many people in this room have lived the work, so these are merely reminders. But 2024 represented the culmination of a series of years post-COVID where we received additional federal funds for allocation to housing, and Rhode Island Housing has put into use via financing and other methods, put these dollars into use and has gotten going in a variety of ways, thousands of units of housing. And again, 2024 is the culmination of that process across several federal pieces of legislation and funding pipelines, but it was a remarkable one in terms of the volume of work and the amount that's getting done. Certainly a lot left to be done, even on the transactions that have been approved for financing, and we have to be ever mindful of the roadblocks that continue to exist and that Rhode Island Housing continues through its good work to take down, but to be sure, thousands of units are getting financed and en route to entering the market. We conscious that these monies are ending because this series of federal legislation passages has concluded, we proposed and then passed, the General Assembly passed and the electorate passed, the largest bond in Rhode Island history to partially replenish the coffers and to establish even new programs for housing, inclusive of course, affordable housing as a priority, rental units very, very much included, but also a homeownership component, and much more. The collaboration with the Department of Housing began in earnest in 2024 and really got going, and I want to thank Carol and James and the team here and the team at Rhode Island House at the Housing Department, and I want to thank Deborah Goddard for her work to date and for her work already hitting the ground running as the new secretary. And we see signs of even more collaboration already in that dialogue and in that work. On the homelessness front, Rhode Island Housing stepped up. The department has definitely stepped up in concert with municipalities. And by last winter, we saw a 32% increase in the number of shelter beds and important investments in longer-term solutions. And in the collaboration with the department, just emphasizing that, as Carol appropriately has, we have also seen the establishment of new activities, including right here at Rhode Island Housing, the Proactive Development Unit, which is getting out into the field more and doing more handholding with developers, standing alongside developers, working with municipalities to get projects done. And that, too, will be done in concert with the department, which is gearing up in that same way. We know that financing is absolutely essential. It's a crucial ingredient, but there's more to it in terms of securing approvals and getting and keeping projects moving. So a lot happened in 2024. That is scratching the surface as to what has been done in terms of performance and in terms of process right here at Rhode Island Housing. But I want to thank Carol. I want to thank the entire team here from this room through this entire building and through the team wherever it sits. It's really been a terrific year, and it's been an honor as a member of this board. And I look to my sides, to the commissioners and their designees. I know we all feel this way. It's really an honor to work with you all and to do this most important work. So with that said, happy holidays. We look forward to a new year, Carol, as you have expressed, where starting January, we're going to actually unpack the accomplishments even more and talk about next steps. This is not that meeting. But thank you for very much beginning that process. So that concludes my remarks. And I'm going to introduce item three, which is Executive Director's Review of Recent Activities and Trends, appropriately enough. So to you, Carol.
Thank you, Chairman. As I mentioned, last month we will be exceeding our mortgage production performance goal for this year, and we believe that it will be well over 10%. So it's great that folks are buying and that there's inventory out there that they can actually afford. I'm pleased that we're about to deploy the first-gen down payment assistance program. We hope to come back to you to add additional funds to the program. Since we started this initiative, 93 households have been able to purchase their first home. Almost 53% of those households are identifying as households of color, and they have purchased in 12 different communities in Rhode Island. We're constantly monitoring the delinquency rate. It did tick up again, another percentage point, and the team in loan servicing is using all the tools that they have in their toolkit to be able to keep people housed, and we'll see what comes from the new administration, whether or not we have additional tools for that purpose. On page three of the report, staff has updated the development project status pie chart. Four additional projects have moved to construction month over month, and three additional developments have moved to preliminary commitment. We did issue the consolidated funding round. Applications have been received. 27 development projects in 14 different localities. They are requesting over $100 million in financing, and we have a little bit less than $30 million. So the bond will come in. our home buyer group, our homeownership group, completed the last home buyer education class for 2024. Over 2,500 potential home buyers participated. Last month, we were happy to join Senator Reed. James joined Senator Reed with a celebration at Reynolds Farm, 40 new construction apartments for folks 55 and older. We welcome Secretary Goddard as the new Secretary of Housing, and I expect we'll be working closely with Deborah and her team as they develop a new governance structure for housing participation in the state of Rhode Island. And Marilena has provided a list of meetings for 2024. Get those on your calendar and take questions, Chairman.
Questions? Commissioners? Hearing done, Carol, thank you. Really appreciate it. Item four, this is firm approval of financing for the Flynn, and I'm going to ask James Comer to present this, if you would, James.
Certainly. Good morning. This is James Comer. The name of the project is the Flynn. It's a 4% tax credit conduit transaction located in Providence. The developer is Marathon Development. Harry Angevine is here from Marathon. They recently completed the construction of three phases of Copley Chambers. Moving on to this next one. Development is the new construction of 178 units of affordable housing and 10,000 square feet of ground floor commercial space. All the units will be financed under the low-income housing tax credit program. 71% of the units will be 2- and 3-bedroom units targeting families, and the balance 1-bedroom units. This RFA is for firm approval of Rhode Island housing financing, tax-exempt financing, in an amount not to exceed $38 million, of which $19,105,000 will remain as permanent debt, and a capital magnet fund loan amount not to exceed $999,000. And an ERA 2 loan in amount not to exceed $10,470,000 for this project. This is a conduit transaction in which Citizens Bank will provide capital for Rhode Island Housing's tax-exempt issuance. Proceeds will be loaned as a construction loan to the borrower. In order to minimize the amount of tax-exempt funding, Citizens will provide a taxable tail in the amount of $6 million to support a total construction loan of $44 million. The funding for the construction loan is non-recourse to Rhode Island Housing. Newmark Capital will act as the dust lender to provide the permanent loan in conjunction with Freddie Mac. On completion, Freddie Mac will step in as the permanent lender. Newmark will service the permanent loan on behalf of Freddie Mac, who will bear the financial risk should the borrower default. Since preliminary in September of 2024, the developer has started construction. Foundations are in. The first floor of steel has been erected. The developer has closed on two loans with the City of Providence and using those funds to cover the current construction costs. The capital stack at the time included $13,934,366 in state low-income housing tax credit equity. Since then, the developer has successfully submitted an ERA 2 application in order to replace that equity and increase their deferred developer fee to cover the remaining funding gap. The developer has submitted an amended request for state low-income housing tax credits to reduce the deferred fee, but is prepared to close in either case. Tax credit syndicator will be CREA, which will purchase the 4% tax credits at 89 cents. Their investors are Citizens and Aetna CVS. This is pretty exciting because it's Aetna CVS's first investment in tax credits in Rhode Island. Great to have the hometown money. And the project conforms to Rhode Island Housing standards of underwriting. Both the construction and permanent loan are underwritten to their respective lenders' requirements, which are consistent with Rhode Island Housing requirements. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions for James? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
It's Kevin Orth. Make the motion.
Kevin made the motion. Is there a second?
James, second.
James making a second. Is there any further question? Hearing none, Corey, please.
All those in
Becca want.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't hear you.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, my apologies.
Rebecca.
It's just my enthusiasm. I'm so excited about the involvement of Aetna CVS, and I just wanted to echo James's excitement with respect to that and the relationship to health and housing as it relates to the location of the development and the potential commercial occupant in the project. Yeah. I think that's really exciting. So, no, I was just excited.
Yeah. Great project.
Perfect. Excitement is permissible. All right. Thank you for that, Rebecca. Any further questions or comments? Now to Corey, please conduct.
All those in favor of firm approval of financing for the Flynn in Providence as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved by unanimous vote.
Thank you. Item 5, authorization to issue taxes and loan to support construction of the Flynn at $38 million. And this is to James.
Following up on the previous action, this seeks approval of the issuance of Rhode Island Housing tax-exempt bonds in a not-to-exceed amount of $38 million for the tax-exempt private placement transaction with Citizens Bank for the Flynn. Again, a 4% part of the deal, 178 units at or below 80%. Rhode Island Housing will issue the note to Citizens Bank and advance the loan proceeds to the borrower with our standard obligations. The borrower loan and note will be assigned to Citizens, and we will receive a one-time origination fee of 1% of the principal plus an annual servicing fee. Any questions?
Questions? In a motion, is there one? Treasurer makes the motion. Second?
Please. My enthusiasm. Seconded, Rebecca.
Rebecca enthusiastically makes the second. Questions or comments? Hearing none, Court, if you would.
Yes. All those in favor of authorizing the issuance of a tax-exempt loan to support the construction of the Flynn in the amount of $38 million, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 votes in the affirmative, and the motion is approved.
Congratulations to Marathon and Harry and his team. Appreciate it very much. On to Board Action 6. This is firm approval of tax-exempt financing for Broad Street Homes in Central Falls. Once again, to you, James.
Thank you. This RFA is for Broad Street Homes, and the developer is One Neighborhood Builders. We have Tom Callahan and Michelle Blue here from One Neighborhood Builders. The request is for firm approval of tax-exempt financing of $12.5 million, of which $2,663,000 will remain as a permanent risk-shared loan, along with DAH2 and CRP funding. One Neighborhood Builders in the City of Central Falls have partnered to develop 46 new units in downtown Central Falls. The site includes a historic former police station, a blighted Dunkin' Donuts, which has been recently demolished, and a vacant municipal parking lot. All 46 units will be fully affordable to households at or below 60% area median income, 5 restricted to households at or below 30% of AMI. These units will be supported by HPFELA operating funds, and units throughout the development will range from efficiencies to 3 bedrooms. Since the March 2024 consolidated round award, development costs have increased by approximately $1.97 million. This is attributable to construction cost increases, mainly due to unsuitable and contaminated soils. Soft costs have increased due to architectural fees, due to redesigns from panel-built construction back to stick-built, and an increase in units from 44 to 46. The developer has also encountered higher builder's risk insurance costs. Our design and construction team has evaluated the current schedule of values and determined the current pricing is consistent with pricing on other similar deals. The funding increases, the developer was able to increase their first mortgage and secure higher pricing from their syndicator, Bracadia, now at 90.8 cents per credit. The investor will be Webster Bank and will also participate as the construction lender. One update to note, subsequent to the credit committee package, we've received an updated 50% bond test, which necessitates $13.5 million instead of $12.5 million in bonds. The amended request is in your board package to date. I would like to address, you know, we had a good conversation at credit committee about the costs related to this project, and they are, you know, a bit higher than we have in our guidelines in the QAP. I would also say, though, this project does a great job of addressing a lot of the priorities that we want to see happen in the QAP, specifically the removal of blight, including 30% units with operating subsidy, including 3-bedroom units for larger families, and a lot of work, making the buildings as energy efficient as possible, including alternative energy with solar panels and meeting Tier 2 standards. So while this is a higher cost project, it is, the centerpiece of the City of Central Falls' plan to revitalize the Broad Street corridor. It's a great example of municipal partnership with the city. They've been a fantastic partner on this. And I would also give a lot of credit to One Neighborhood Builders for doing everything they can up until continuing to try to value engineer this project to restrain the cost, given a lot of exigent circumstances that they could not have prepared for. So happy to entertain any questions that folks have.
Questions and comments?
Who would have thought Dunkin' Donuts could go down like that? Hopefully the residents here will have like 6 other options.
I feel comfortable there's another couple nearby.
I think
the committee chair, Ken.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think, as Jabe said, this project is a great use of the soft money that we have available, thankfully, state fiscal recovery funds, that this project would likely not be funded otherwise. I think that one thing that it illuminated is that because of those fiscal recovery funds and the amount that we're able to put in, it is in conflict with our tax credit guidance, namely in the QAP and in the developer's handbook. So I think moving forward, we should make sure that whether they're federal funding programs or state funding programs, that they mesh well with our tax credit program, and which we are bound, obviously, you know, to administer with best practices. So I think that's something we should keep in mind. And also, as we have these bond funds, I know that staff are put in a tough situation because you have the soft money coming in without caps, but then we have our tax credit guidelines where we do have some caps. So how do you – and it's tough for the developers out there to meet that too.
And again, Kevin, to your point, I would like to highlight, when these additional costs came up since preliminary approval, One Neighborhood Builders didn't get more soft money. They increase their first mortgage, and they work with their syndicator to increase the credit rate. So that's a credit to the work that they did.
Definitely. I think that to the extent that we can be a part of that conversation, it would be good to put some caps on the amount of soft money going into projects. I think that would be helpful for developers to know what the rules of the game are, and I think that would be helpful for this as well as you look through all of these transactions.
Yeah, well taken. You know, we having all this money has been fantastic, but it has been time-sensitive dollars, and so to be able to get all that out in the appropriate time, now to have a little bit more patient dollars with perhaps the state bond funds and other soft sources going forward may make some things a little bit easier as well.
We are fortunate. We do have a pipeline of acquired property. We have the site acquisition program, which is very helpful in creating projects in queue for the new dollars, the bond dollars, and the volume cap continues to be used.
All right. Just to add to that, first of all, Kevin, thank you for raising the question in credit committee, and I think we all believe that was a constructive thing to do and very important thing to do, and thank you to the staff for being very responsive and explaining why the per unit costs here are high relative to our guidance to ourselves. Having said that, this is a very important project. It's a good project. It's one that the Central Falls is very much in favor of. So stepping away from that, I do wonder, Kevin has expressed this well, I wonder whether in future meetings in whatever form, Carol and James, you prefer whether staff and board could dialogue further around how we do issue such guidance to ourselves, meaning the prioritization within the QAP of lower cost units, the developer's handbook, the other dollar sources, meaning beyond the 9% and 4% LIHTC credits, the other programs and how they issue guidance. This dialogue needs to be with the department, to be sure. Very much needs to be with the department. But how do we, in fact, incentivize the keeping of per unit project costs low while giving ourselves flexibility to make exceptions and while enabling us with clarity to express the reasons for exceptions? I wonder whether we can sit down and talk all of that through further without a preordained conclusion.
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Kevin.
Thank you.
James, further comments? Mr. Treasurer? By the Treasurer? Is there a second?
Second. This is Steve.
Moved and seconded. Are there further questions or comments on the project or the discussion pertaining to per unit costs? Either one. Hearing none, Corey, please conduct the vote.
Yes. All those in favor of firm approval of tax-exempt financing as presented for Broad Street homes located in Central Falls, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have a unanimous vote, and the motion is approved.
Thank you very much. Item 7, firm approval of reservation of low-income housing tax credits, LIHTC, and financing for the Villages at Manville, which is in Lincoln, and James.
Thank you. This RFA is for firm approval of the reservation of up to $1.344 million in 2024 or 2025 low-income housing tax credits and firm approval of a Rhode Island housing taxable first mortgage loan in an amount up to $4.775 million, a home loan at $1.9 million, a housing trust fund loan in an amount not to exceed $1.174331, a Rhode Island rebounds production fund loan in an amount not to exceed $305,669, DAH2 loan in amount not to exceed $5,839,148, and a middle income program loan in amount not to exceed $214,730 for the Villages at Manville, 72-unit rental housing developments to be located in Lincoln. This consists of 72 apartments across three buildings. 57 will be low-income housing tax credit units with rents up to 60%, and 15 will be restricted to households at or below 80%. There are 8 units set aside for households with incomes below 30% of AMI, supported by Section 811 vouchers administered by Rhode Island Housing. The original developer, Dakota Partners, was moving to close in the second quarter of 2003 when they lost their syndicator due to the demise of Signature Bank. That caused the project delay and caused some cost implications. The board, however, acted to approve a reservation of 2024 and or 2025 tax credits, resetting the placed in service deadline and allowing the project to continue. Dakota Partners, as part of its corporate financial restructuring, sold their interest in TDM to Conley & Partners, a subsidiary of First Hartford Realty, At loan closing, the developer will purchase the existing borrower entity, TBM2 Owner LLC. FHRC Management Corporation, the property management entity, is wholly owned subsidiary of FHC. Connolly did out the construction and selected Parasol Builders. They've refreshed the local permitting and consolidated the architectural drawings to fully define the scope. Since revised approval, the TDC has increased by approximately $1.25 million. Construction costs increased slightly and contingency has increased, and the developer has capitalized a small lease-up reserve. In order to address these overall increases in cost, the developer increased their first mortgage and their deferred fee, and again, we're able to receive slightly higher credit pricing. The investor is Bank of America and its affiliates, and they will also provide the construction loan. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Motion.
So moved. Kevin Horst. Second.
Second, Rebecca.
Moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? Board, would you please conduct the vote?
Yes. All those in favor of firm approval of a reservation of low-income housing tax credits and financing as presented for the villages at Manville located in Lincoln, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion is approved with 6 votes in the affirmative.
On to item 8, preliminary approval of financing for West End 3. This is in Providence. To you, James.
Thank you. This RFA is for preliminary approval of Rhode Island Housing tax exempt financing in the amount not to exceed $8 million, of which $1.375 will remain as a permanent first mortgage for West End 3. Women's Development Corporation is the developer. Charlie Thomas Davison is here on behalf of WDC. This includes the rehab and preservation of 47 affordable apartments located in the Elmwood and West End neighborhoods of Providence. The development combines two existing projects, West End Preservation Apartments and Historic West End 2, which will be merged with West End 3. The development is 19 individual buildings spread amongst the Elmwood and West End neighborhoods, all within a quarter mile of each other. Of the units, 31 will be restricted to households earning up to 60%, 9 units at 50%, and 7 at 30%. There are 22 two-bedroom units, 23-bedroom, and 5 four-bedroom units, so these are very clearly family units and much needed in that part of town. Renovations will be both interior and exterior, including but not limited to roofing, siding replacement, insulation, hot water boilers and heaters, unit upgrades including kitchens and baths, fire code compliance, exterior lighting, and security cameras with remote monitoring. Since many of these buildings are in the historic district, the developer has been limited to the type of exterior repairs they can make on an ongoing operating basis, and the city has cited the buildings due to the deteriorating conditions. Since the properties are eligible for federal historic credits, particularly attention will be paid to the exterior siding and windows. I'll just take a second to note, all the commissioners have a little portfolio of photos from the capital needs assessment and from some of our work in the application that Women's Development has submitted. And it gives you a sense for not only the historic character of the building, the unique construction of the building, and also the deep need for this project and the conditions that the residents are going through now. There's approximately $3 million of existing debt plus accrued interest on this property, comprised of a Rhode Island Housing targeted loan and other loans as part of the approval process. Staff has determined development and the sponsor meet our requirements for the rollover of existing debt. Specifically, they're current on their first mortgage. There's no outstanding monitoring findings nor history of same. Demonstrated responsible long-term ownership and management of the property. Satisfactory equity pay and schedule. Maximization of amortizing debt to be able to be supported. And the borrower will be the guarantor for any deficit shortfalls. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
Just a statement that, you know, this is great. This is so important because all the, you know, the new units get all the press and how many new units are we producing and stuff like that. But to be able to preserve and upgrade, you know, the units that are already out there, that there was a major need for this. This is a great part of the mission of Rhode Island Housing for this project.
Thank you, Steve. Anything else from anybody?
I'll just add, please. One of the items that came up in credit committee was the fact that the buildings in their current condition are I don't want to say functionally obsolete, but but they're close.
Yeah.
And so the idea here is to infuse them with a significant amount of capital to make them functional and attractive and energy efficient for the next 20 years. So I think it's a very laudable goal, and we're behind the effort.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks. Anything else? Buddy. Hearing none, is there a motion?
Make a motion to approve. This is Steve.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Second from Sarah. Corey, would you please conduct a voice vote?
Yes. All those in favor of preliminary approval of financing for West End 3 in Providence as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 affirmative votes. The motion is approved.
All right. Board action 9, approval of transfer of physical assets for Heritage Village Apartments in North Kingstown. Once again, James, please.
Thank you. This RFA is for the approval of the transfer of limited partnership interest in Heritage Village Apartments, 204-unit housing development located in North Kingstown. Under Rhode Island housing rules, any transfer of physical assets and prepayment of the mortgage must be approved by us before the conveyance, assignment, or transfer of any ownership interest in any multifamily housing project. The owner of the development is Heritage Preservation Associates Limited Partnership. The current GP of the owner is POA Heritage Apartments LLC, which holds a 0.01 interest in the partnership. The current investor limited partner in the development is NHT 24 Tax Credit Fund LLC, very elegantly named. The limited partner holds a 99.99% limited partnership interest and intends to withdraw and sell their partnership interest to Preservation of Affordable Housing LLC. The GP and the transferee are affiliates of the developer of Preservation of Affordable Housing. Heritage Village ended its 15-year compliance period on December 31st, 2022. POA plans to complete the limited partner's exit and work with Rhode Island Housing on a new tax credit capitalization for this development. The transferee will assume all existing obligations encumbering the developments, and the new regulatory agreement with Rhode Island Housing is in effect till September of 2047. Current property manager is POA Communities LLC. No changes contemplated with that.
Questions? Is there a motion? By Representative, second.
Second, James.
By the Treasurer. Questions?
Corey, would you
please conduct the voice vote on this one?
Of course, Mr. Chair. All those in favor of approval of a transfer of physical assets for Heritage Village Apartments in North Kingstown, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With 6 ayes, the motion's approved.
All right. We're on to items that have been through the Management Committee. This is item 10, approval of list of pre-qualified communication services and research firms to Christine Hunsinger. Would you please present, Chris?
Thank you. This is Chris Hunsinger. This request for action is to complete the request we had before you in November to establish a roster for communication and data professionals to assist with external communication tasks and other tasks as we encounter throughout the year. You'll remember that we were here. We asked you to approve 17, and you did. There were 3 categories where we only had received 1 response, and we were hopeful that if we left them open, we would receive additional. So we did leave it open. We posted it on our website, the state's website, and emailed it to everyone we could think of. In the category of production of state and federal required plans, we did get 1 other proposal. It was scored along with the ones from the previous that with the ones that had come in previously, and it passed threshold, and so we'd like to add the 2 under that category, 1 under grant writing, and 1 under industry analysis to the roster. They've all scored above the threshold. Some of them have done business with us before, and we would like to have them on the roster, so we seek approval to do that.
Any questions for Christine? Motion? Second.
Second, Mr. Steve.
Having been moved and seconded, 1 more shot at questions. Hearing none, Corey, would you please conduct the voice vote?
Of course. All those in favor of approving a list of pre-qualified communication services and research firms as presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. We have 6 ayes. The motion's approved.
All right. 1 more item along with Christine. This one is item 11, approval of engagement of Venture Window LLC for window supplier on historic homes. Would you please, Chris?
This is Chris Hunsinger. This request for action seeks to engage Venture Window LLC to provide vinyl and aluminum clad replacement windows for historic homes that we do work on through the Lead Safe Homes program. When a property applies to the program and is designated historic, we have to work with the State Historic Preservation Office as well as the local preservation folks. They have very specific requirements around windows, and we have sort of navigated that and come to an understanding about what is acceptable to both those parties. Venture is someone who provides historic, almost historic-looking windows, and has been approved by the State Historic Preservation Office as well as some of the other local historic ones. So we went out to RFP. We only received one proposal, and that was from Venture. They also have this agreement with the City of Providence for their lead program. Because the cost of the aluminum clad and the vinyl clad windows is so much higher than the typical windows that we use in non-historic homes, the contractors have a difficult time purchasing them and then holding on until the project is complete to get paid. So what we would do here is have Venture be a partner. They would go out and measure the windows, so they're guaranteed to be correct. They would propose the most historically accurate window available, and then we would pay them directly so that the contractor does not incur that cost and have to wait till the project is done to get paid. So we're seeking approval to enter into a contract to do that with them.
Questions for Chris on this item? Hearing none, is there a motion? Sarah, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Monica. Shot questions? Hearing none, please
call the vote. All in favor of approving the engagement of Venture Window LLC as a window supplier for historic homes in the lead program, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. With six affirmative votes, the motion's approved.
Very good. On to items 12 and 13. 12 is noted as closed session for the discussion of the job performance contract and compensation of the executive director. Carol, as is her right, has exercised that right to hold this conversation in open session. And I will note also, we see it the same way. No need for anything else. So we're moving on to item 13, approval of executive director's contract and compensation. This item was discussed in management committee yesterday. Pleased to report that we are in agreement, Carol and we, that her contract ought to be extended by 6 months. Here is an explanation. Carol's current contract expires at the end of this month. We've engaged in good faith conversations around the best way to proceed. There are a few things going on simultaneously. The General Assembly, I think wisely, introduced a provision in legislation that requires a new look at all of the housing agencies, departments, and offices, where the functions ought to reside, how there can be enhancements to ensure further optimized performance by everyone. The Department of Housing is charged with producing a report by December 31st, which they are well on the way to doing, that will speak to Rhode Island Housing's role, its functions, its programs, its operations. The department's own, same set of things, and other agencies as well. So that is underway. So we all thought that it would be better to make longer-term decisions and have longer-term negotiations in the context of a settled state in terms of the agencies and responsibilities. In addition, as we all know very well, there's a new secretary in Deborah Goddard who ought to have a role in the dialogue on that report, and she very much is engaging that, and in how we configure things as pertains to Rhode Island Housing, the continuing dialogue and collaboration with Carol. So we thought that a six-month extension would make sense. This enables the legislative session to occur, i.e., for the General Assembly to receive the department's report and to consider it through presumably June, when the General Assembly generally concludes its term. So that's the idea. I will note gratitude for Carol for the good conversation pertaining to the contract itself. We also have included some enhancements in Carol's contract. I'm going to ask Steve Richard to describe those in a couple moments.
but I do also want to add my thanks to Carol for her continuing leadership, for her service to date, which has been tremendously admirable, but also for agreeing to this extended transition period, which is so helpful to everyone involved. Stephen, would you please review the terms?
Sure. Thank you, Chairman. Just to summarize for the Commission is the process. The Enabling Act describes the housing board do shall employ an executive director. So this process would to confirm that employment under the statute. Procedurally, we presented this matter to the Management Committee yesterday, consistent with the Public Transparency Act. The Management Committee acts as an advisory committee to the board, and we take this action now to you for review and approval. The process was very straightforward and safe and cooperative. I serve as your counsel. I do not represent Carol. I consulted with Corey as the corporation general counsel to ensure we comply with all around housing policies and procedures. Corey did not represent Carol either in any capacity. Carol had full right and ability to review her employment situation with any advisor of her choice, but we worked very collegially, cooperatively, and quickly to effectuate what the chairman said. And what I just want to go through with you very quickly is what structurally we will be putting in place. Carol has an existing contract, as the chair said, which will expire at the end of this month. We essentially use the existing contract as a template to redline and update. And what we have done is adjusted really three provisions within the contract. First, the date. Any reference to a termination of December 31st has been adjusted to June 30th, 2025. That serves two purposes. Number one, to make sure that all the corporation's rights are in place, such that if there's ever a situation where a termination decision has to be made, we give you that right through the term of the contract, but also for Carol's benefits because she continues to accrue benefits and rights under the policy. So date adjustments occur throughout this document, but very routine, changing December 31st to June 30th. We have adjusted Carol's compensation for your committee consideration today. Effective January 1, Carol's compensation will be adjusted upward by 4% to equal an annualized amount of $229,195, which is, again, a 4% adjustment. And it's consistent with prior adjustments that we've made. So this has all been routine. And the only other clause that required alteration pertains to Carol's vacation. Carol has been a long-time employee who's accrued a lot of vacation time over the years. We wanted to make sure that those accrued and unused vacation days were fully protected. So they will roll over into the new term to protect Carol, and they'll be subject to Rhode Island Housing's policies and procedures. There's no special, you know, payout arrangement here in any way. And also, Carol is entitled to vacation and personal days during the six-month period. What we did is we took the current contract allotment, which is annualized to 30 days and 30 vacation days, 3 personal days. We have afforded Carol 15 vacation days in the six-month period and 2 personal days. Having said that, it is pretty routine. We just need, going forward, to dot the I's and cross the T's, and what you will be doing today is first and foremost reviewing and approving the terms, but also authorizing the chair to work with me interactively with Carol to finalize and execute this document before December 31st.
Thank you very much. So just to reiterate, what the Board of Commissioners, if it sees fit, will be authorizing today is for me as the chair to work with Steve as counsel and with Corey as counsel for the institution and for Carol to finalize the contract document and have it executed by the executive director and the chair. The preliminary markup, which Steve was referencing, it's in essence a straight extension by the 6 months, usually for the 2025, and with a salary and vacation day rollover changes or edits that are themselves consistent with past practice, those have already been reviewed by Carol. So we hope to be able to execute soon after all of this. Before we proceed to any questions or comments from the Board of Commissioners, Carol, is there anything that you'd like to add?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for all your cooperation through this. members of the board. Questions?
I have a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Carol, I'd like to thank you for your 20 years of service. It's been many, many years.
Yeah.
And I would also add that this last year was amongst the best I think we've had at the agency. And that credit goes to you and your leadership. So
thank you
very much.
Further questions or comments? None. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve, Mr. Steve.
Moved by Steve. Is there a second?
Second, Kevin Orth.
Seconded by Kevin. One more shot at questions or comments. Please conduct the voice vote.
Yes. All those in favor of authorizing the chair to finalize and execute a contract with the executive director consistent with the terms discussed today, please say aye.
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 Any opposed, say nay. We have ayes and motion.
All right. Before I conclude, Carol, James, Corey, anything else we need to do before we do conclude?
No, sir.
All right, I'm going to soon, momentarily, request a motion to adjourn. I just want to note for everyone involved, there are two subsequent meetings that we're going to hold, so you're not confused. So a number of us, not necessarily all of us, will stay, we'll take a break, and we'll reconvene twice. So that'll become even further clear, but just want to explain that before I make this motion. So, there is no further business. I'd like to request a motion to adjourn. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Is there a second?
Second,
sir. All right, Court, conduct the vote, please.
All those in favor of adjourning this meeting, please say aye.
Aye.
Say nay. We have a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you so much.